This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The disciples' dreams were crushed on Good Friday. They lost their sense of purpose and meaning in life. Each of us face our own personal defeats now and then that can really get us down. However, Jesus gives us each a new sense of purpose. Find out what that is in this week's message entitled, Why Smile?
If you're looking for a reason to rejoice and smile, I'm glad you're tuned into this service today. Stay with us. God has a powerful word just for you. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we gather around your holy word today, hungry to hear what you have to say to us. We all have one thing in common. We need you. We need to hear what you have to say. So speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Our reading for today is from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Here ends our reading. Dear friends, the disciples of Jesus had just gone through a very tough emotional week. It had been a real roller coaster ride. They'd gone from the high of those cheering crowds on Palm Sunday to the low of the bloodthirsty cries, "Crucify him," on Good Friday. They were in shock over all the losses they had experienced in the past hours. Their leader had been killed on a cross. A colleague had betrayed Jesus and then committed suicide. The spokesman for the group, Peter, had denied knowing Jesus three times when the pressure was on, and he was broken. They had all scattered like frightened sheep and left Jesus to face the horror alone, all sheepishly now looking at one another, ashamed. One of the disciples, Thomas, was even missing. He wasn't with them. It looked like this whole thing was just falling apart before their very eyes, the whole movement. They had to have been wondering, how could all of this happen? Earlier that morning, the women had found the tomb empty. And Mary reported to the disciples that she had actually seen Jesus alive in the garden. And Peter and John had run to the tomb and found it empty as well. And of course they were amazed at this news. But they had to have been more than a little confused by it as well. Perhaps even a little skeptical. Not sure they wanted to believe it. They didn't want to get their hopes up again, only to be disappointed again. And who could blame them? John's Gospel tells us they were scared, they were frightened and hiding. They had the doors locked for fear of the Jews because they thought maybe we're next. Can you imagine the looks on their faces with me? Tired, drained looks, worried looks, confused, sad. In all likelihood, I think that room was filled with frowns. But suddenly, Jesus is there, standing among them, and he said, "Peace be with you," as if to put them at ease, for this was a normal way the Jews greeted one another. Did he perhaps mean more than that in these words? Probably. We'll get back to that. They had to have wondered, is it really him? And Jesus, reading those amazed looks on their faces, showed them his nail-scarred hands and his spear-pierced side as if to say to them, "Yes, it's really me." And listen to these words that describe their response. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I love that word, overjoyed. They were glad. They were rejoicing. Their joy was beyond words, beyond description. They were overflowing with joy. Kind of like I remember feeling when my firstborn came into this world and I saw Sam come to life. And I was filled with joy and I thought it doesn't get any better than this. And then when Martha came as well, I was overjoyed. These words that describe them, their response, remind me of the words in the upper room that Jesus gave them the night he was arrested. He said, in a little while you'll no longer see me, and again a little while you will see me. And very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will be turned into joy. And so those frowns melted away and were changed to smiles of joy. And Jesus again said to them, peace be with you, almost as if to convince them all is well. This story is not over. I'm alive, and I've got plans for you. It says he breathed his breath in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, his Spirit within them. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Preach my message about forgiveness to the world. Everything changed at that moment when Jesus appeared. Jesus, who was crucified, was now alive, and those frowns turned into smiles. Dear friends, he's still alive. This Jesus who appeared to those disciples in that upper room is still with us today. He has not left. We can't see him, but he's here. And he's ready to change frowns into smiles. And I'll tell you from personal experience and the testimony of millions of others, this Jesus Christ is available to have a personal encounter and a personal relationship with you, to walk with you through life with its ups and its downs. He is so much more than a historical figure to try to emulate. He's more than a figure in a stained glass window to be remembered. Jesus is someone you can have a dynamic daily relationship with. And people have been discovering that for 2,000 years. That when a person believes in Christ and asks him to live in him or her, Jesus can turn one's frowns into smiles of great joy. He'll turn your frowns into smiles of joy. Who wouldn't want that? Our facial expressions, you know, oftentimes reveal what's going on inside of us, don't they? When life isn't adding up, we can fake a smile and try to pretend that all is well. But the feelings soon register themselves on our faces and in our body language. And we find ourselves frowning. Let's ask what's behind those frowns. Well, look at the disciples again. In some cases, those frowns might be frowns of fear or worry. The disciples were afraid that night. They were afraid for their lives, worried that they might be next. They were looking at their own mortality, and they were scared. Some of us know that feeling personally. You've walked away from a graveside, leaving behind the body of a loved one, and there's that nagging question inside. I wonder what's going to become of me. I know that I'm going to die someday. And it scares me. Death can be a frightening thing for many of us. Or that frown may be the frown of the experience of defeat, shattered dreams. Those disciples had their dreams crushed on Good Friday. They suffered loss. Defeat is no stranger to us either. In this broken and imperfect world, we each face our own personal defeats now and then. And boy, they can really get us down. I was reminded of that as I was watching the NCAA basketball tournament recently. And end of some of those games, the looks of defeat on the bench of those who were losing the closing seconds of a game. The dream that they had worked so hard for was vanishing before their eyes. The frown may be from guilt. The disciples, you see, had let Jesus down. Hey, who hasn't? There have been times when we've not stood up for him, right? I know that's the case with me. Or lacked the courage to witness, or not love someone that needed Christ's love. It leaves you feeling guilty, like you let him down. And you wonder, how does he feel about me? Am I in the outs with him? Or perhaps the frown may come from a sense of feeling lost, without direction. Many struggle with a lack of meaning and purpose, and those disciples were wondering that. What are we going to do now? I've invested all this time and energy into this cause, but now that Jesus is dead and gone, what's my purpose? And that can often be the case in many people's lives who ask, what in the world am I here for? My life is lacking direction and purpose. And it all leads up to frowns. So how do you wipe away frowns? People attempt to do it with human devices, spend a lot of money, take a vacation, throw a party, purchase a new toy of some sort, take a couple extra drinks at the end of a work day. All of these activities, I suppose, are fine, but do they really last? Do they put a lasting smile within our hearts and souls? You see, they're just temporary fixes. They really don't work. And what does? The risen Jesus Christ. The reality which overjoyed those disciples and kept them joyfully going the rest of their lives was their ongoing relationship with the risen Savior. They knew they did not walk alone. And dear friend, you don't need to either. Jesus is here to walk with you. When you fail or meet defeat, the resurrected Lord has a promise for you to count on. He told the disciples, and it's the same for you, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. You and I have one that we can lean on for strength during those difficult moments of life and can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I came across kind of a funny story about a pastor who was concerned about reports that Christian education program was ineffective in his church, and so he decided to check it out for himself. He stopped in a fourth grade classroom and asked one of his students, Janie, when is Easter and what happens on it? Janie said, well, Easter's in the fall. We dress up in costumes and go trick-or-treating. Oh, no, the pastor thought. This really is a problem. Hoping for better results, he tried another student. Jimmy, can you tell me what Easter is and what happens on that day? Jimmy said, well, it's in the winter, and we put up the tree and decorate and exchange gifts. Now, the pastor was feeling sick, so he went to Mikey, the smartest kid in the class. When is Easter, he asked, and what happens then, Mike? Mikey answered, well, Easter is in the springtime when Jesus came up from the grave. Very good, the pastor said, relieved. Then Mikey added, and if he sees his shadow, he goes back and we have 6 more weeks of winter. Listen, our good news is that Jesus didn't go back. He's alive and he is with us today. When I walk away from the graveside feeling uneasy about my mortality and a bit fearful, the words of Jesus are mine to hang on to. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. On Easter, Jesus conquered death, and because he lives, we shall live also. That's ours to claim for ourselves. But when I'm weighed down by guilt, the guilt of letting him down in my many shortcomings in love and life, the risen one points me to the cross and reminds me that I have peace with God through the cross and resurrection. He shows me again his nail-pierced hands, feet, and his side, and he says, you are forgiven. And when I wonder, what's my purpose? He reminds me in his words, you're my sent one. As a father sent me, so I send you. To those who live around you, to point them to me. Tell them the message of the great forgiveness that I offer every sinner. And the new beginning that can be theirs if they'll place their trust in me. You have a very high calling, you know. And these things turn those frowns, knowing these things from the risen Christ, into smiles. On that first Easter Sunday evening, many frowns were turned into smiles by the risen Savior. He's never stopped doing that to this very day. He is risen, and he is here with us right now as we are studying his word together. He's promised to come to us in that way. He wants each one of you to have his peace. He wants to cause you to be overjoyed, knowing that he is alive and with you. And so I appeal to you this day through the word. Ask him in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. A personal, intimate relationship is yours to be experienced. And as you continue to walk with Jesus in his word and participate in his community of faith, and you are serving others in his names, you'll continue to find him and understand that he really is alive and there with you. And he'll turn your frowns into a smile. There's a old hymn that we used to sing when I was a child that came to mind. It goes like this. Art thou weary? Art thou languished? Art thou sore distressed? Come to me, saith one, and coming be at rest. Hath he marks to lead me to him, if he be my guide? In his feet and hands are wound prints and his side. Finding, following, keeping, struggling, is he sure to bless? Saints, apostles, prophets, martyrs, answer yes. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank and praise you for the resurrection, that because Jesus lives, we shall live also. We're grateful not only for his promise of eternal life, but also for his constant companionship on this road of life. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the risen Christ, who turned frowns into smiles, and to trust him with the rest of our lives. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may the risen Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help you to open your heart to the risen Christ, knowing he will always be with you and will give you peace and joy overflowing. Currently, Christian Crusaders is heard on 30 radio stations in 11 states across the United States, as well as on shortwave across North America and Europe. We encourage those who listen to our program to drop us a line and let us know in which part of the world you are able to hear us. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888 My Faith. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choice and all others who need to listen. We thank all who support us with their prayers and their gifts. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.